need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Football Rant, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. This is the reaction episode, Iowa Big Ten title game. But before we get into that, guys, something really exciting. Autograph has sent me a bunch of Michigan versus everybody wristbands. And what I'm willing to do is for the first 10 people that go ahead and rate and review on Apple Podcasts, screenshot that and send it to me. Also, go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Send that to me, also DM. I will send out a wristband to each person that does that, to up to the first 10, okay? So let's get into this. Interesting game, right? Kind of what I kind of said was going to go down in the fact that day off for the defense, offense was supposed to stay mentally engaged. I don't know if the offense necessarily did that. The one thing that I was completely wrong in is that I didn't think Iowa's defense was as good as it is. I thought it was like a top 15. They really are a top 5. They were sound. They were great tackling wise. I mean, they didn't overplay anything. Also, I think Michigan came in with a really kind of bland offensive scheme. Now, is that because Iowa forced them to do that? Or was it they were willing not to show anything because they knew if they just kicked a field goal, that was basically going to be the winning play. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to do much to beat Iowa. And I think that's what Michigan was just like, listen, we can just do nothing. We can come out as bland as possible and we can still beat this team. I think that's probably more what it was. Now, me, I'll be honest, man. I kind of want I want at least one game where the frills, you get like the really cool plays, you get like the offense really clicking on all freaking cylinders. That's what I want. Just give it to me once or twice in a whole season. Like, we started to see it, and then, you know, Harbaugh got suspended and it went away and we went right back to what we usually did. Now, I don't want to complain. I really don't, because I am a big fan of the run game. I love it. But I do love a great passing game as well. I just want to see some frills every once in a while. You know? I mean, just a little bit. So, obviously, we weren't going to get that against Iowa. Playing Iowa is so effing frustrating. Playing Iowa and also having it be on Fox with all the fucking, you know, timeouts, the TV timeouts and all that. It's one of the more frustrating TV watches ever. It really is. It is just awful. It really, I mean, I love the fact that we dominated. I loved watching our defense. Samaj Morgan, fantastic. All that was great. But it seemed like every 10 seconds they were going to a freaking TV timeout. And how does a football team ever get on a roll? How do they sustain a roll? If you are down and out like Iowa was, this is perfect for you. You always want to play on Fox because it allows you to withstand any type of onslaught. You know? I mean, for God's sakes, this is miserable watching games on Fox. It's awful. It really is awful. Just as bad as watching our offense last night. I was annoyed beyond no end with this team offensively. And I get why. That's fine. I understand they probably didn't want to show anything. Okay, fine. Defensively, fantastic. So some of the bright spots, right? Samaj Morgan. This kid has been an absolute delight and just so needed for this team this whole season. Has come up with big plays when we need him. Maryland, Penn State, the Big Ten title game. When we need a big boost, this kid seems to be the one that makes the play. And I love it. I love that. I think it was a TikTok or a Instagram reel, whatever he did, where he just went off and called people bitches or whatever. That was classic. Awesome. Made me love that kid even more. The best, dude. I love that. So very, very happy with that. He's a tremendous bright spot. James Turner, fantastic. That dude came in and... The best thing you can say about a field goal kicker is that you can't remember his name, right? Like he's the gray man. He just shows up, does his job, and disappears, and you never have to know anything about him, right? Moody was different because for some reason the fan base fell in love with this guy, Moody, last year, but Turner fits the best description of a field goal kicker. He shows up, he kicks the ball, he makes it, he disappears. You don't have to hear about him. You don't have to hear about his antics. You don't have to hear any of it. That's why Quinn Nordin was the worst. He had a leg. He had a cannon of a leg. He could kick it all the way from Michigan to freaking Illinois. He could do it, but you have to deal with him, you know, yelling at offensive linemen, do your job. All the baloney that shouldn't come with a field goal kicker came with Quinn Nordin. Awful. Very happy for James Turner. I mean, I even had to look up his name. I thought it was James Franklin. I know that's the Penn State coach, but every time I think of the kicker, I for some stupid reason, I think James Franklin. Don't know why. They don't look anything alike, but that's why he's so perfect. Doman went head-to-head with the best punter in the country, and I think did a very good job. We out Iowa, Iowa, you know? Oh, just but continue with the bright spots. CJ, very workmanlike day. I think he had, what, six receptions for 80-something yards? I could be wrong on that. I think he's like six receptions for 85 yards or something. No touchdowns, obviously. Corum, you know, great. I mean, A-Train was one of my favorite Michigan running backs of all time. Loved it. Him, Tyrone Wheatley, for a long time, were my two favorites. To watch Corum tie that. It was a special moment probably for all Michigan fans, right? Just fantastic moment. Couldn't have happened to a better kid. And I hope to God he breaks that record against Alabama and adds a few, if you know what I mean. So I look forward to that. I'm just so very happy for Corum. A definite bright spot on that offense. And the whole defense. I mean, I can't really pick one player. Two players, three players, all the players on defense, all of them did something last night that was so worth just the price of admission. I mean, once again, I mean, what can you say about Mikey Sanger still? Just the absolute heartbeat of this team, of the defense. Just so thankful that he chose to, one, stay at Michigan, two, switch positions. I mean, the kid probably played himself into the NFL, and just not only to the NFL, he probably got into the first two rounds of the NFL draft. I mean, this season, unbelievable. Just he embodies, along with, I mean, basically this whole team embodies the true definition of what I think Bo was trying to say, the team, the team, the team. Nobody puts themselves above the team. No one believes they're better than the team. No coach, no player, no nothing. No one is better than the team, and collectively the team can win it all. You know, just love it. I mean, just a love fest for this team right now. I'm so happy for them. Some of the, you know, the low lights of it, obviously the offensive line, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, you have to expect that there's going to be a hangover when it comes to Zinter being gone. But Trente Jones, I mean, yeah, can we be disappointed in him? Sure. But the guy hasn't really played all season long. So, yeah, was he rusty? Yeah, did he make some mistakes? And I'll be honest, though, that holding call was the weakest holding call I have ever seen. Ever. That was the lame call. So I don't really blame him for that. I mean, they gave up 4 sacks. I'm not too happy with that, but also JJ probably didn't help with any of that with how he played last night. Not a great performance from JJ. Not at all. Just he did all right. All right, but I not excited by what JJ brought to the table last night. Was it me or was the field coated in ice or something? They didn't seem like any of them could get any real footing there for a minute. I don't know what happened, but it was kind of weird. But obviously the Fox TV timeouts, tremendous low light. I already talked about it. I want to support Fox because I can't stand ESPN. I can't stand them. They might be the worst sports television ever, but Fox and the way they handle these TV timeouts drives me to insanity. The tight end drops, another low light, if you ask me. Loveland and Barner with some uncharacteristic drops. I mean, it could have been 24-0, because I really do believe if Loveland holds on to that one ball, he's gone. It was wide open. And if not, I mean, at least, 20, but we get another field goal or a touchdown out of that, whatever. But uncharacteristic drops. I just don't know if they were bored by Iowa or what, but the offense was so uninspired. I just didn't like it. I didn't like what I saw. Now, last one of the low lights before we get into other stuff, Orgy. Alex Orgy, I am a fan of Alex Orgy. Don't get me wrong. He's not the low light. The thing that I want to say is how what they do with him is really frustrating. He has now become the Eddie McDoom of the offense. And Michigan has done this ever since Harbaugh has been there. They find one player that they really like a play that he does, and then they run it into the effing ground. So much so that every time that person comes in, you know exactly what he's going to do, when, and you know exactly what the play is going to be. And the thing is, okay, that would be fine if every once in a while they would do the opposite to trick you into believing something. Like, I don't know, maybe have Alex Orgy throw the effing ball. But, dude, they might as well throw a leather helmet on the kid and just run the wishbone offense. Because you know gosh dang well, once that kid comes in, he is taking it to the right, and that's all he's going to do. And he's going to run the ball, not even act like he's going to pass. So I'm not annoyed with Alex Orgy because I think that kid could be a stud. I mean, the kid is physically gifted. He's a monster. Fast, big, strong. I hope if he can just pass the effing ball, if he knows how to do it, maybe, just maybe, they do that against Alabama and shock the world. You know what I mean? I doubt it, but I can hope. I hate how Michigan does that. They've effectively turned a stud football player into Eddie McDoom. Because let's face it, you knew exactly what Eddie McDoom was going to do as soon as he came in. It was going to be a reverse. You knew it, and that Michigan never went away from it. Never, ever. Never used Eddie McDoom as a decoy. Never did any of that shit. And it's just very frustrating. Very, very frustrating when you see that. So end with the low lights. But we totally out Iowa at playing their game of football. I mean, one, Iowa loves to punt the ball deep, trap the offense in their own territory, force them to punt it so your offense can get better field position in hopes of scoring. That's exactly what Michigan did. And then in special teams, if they can return a kick for the touchdown, they will. I mean, it was Groundhog Day, or it had to feel like Iowa was staring into a mirror as they watched Michigan do everything that Iowa does, but Michigan did it better. And I mean better. I mean, it's the most boring football ever. So if you happen, yeah, Michigan scored, what, 24 points, 26 points? That's the most probably Iowa has scored all season. So, yeah, they're probably like, Jesus, we can score 26 points by playing this boring bullshit. Who knew? You know, I mean, Michigan did exactly what Iowa does to other people. Their defense shut down the offense. Their punter trapped Iowa deep in their own territory. They forced Iowa to punt. Our offense did shit, did absolute shit with the ball, but then kicked a few field goals and got lucky with a few touchdowns, right? Off of turnovers, which Iowa also does to other teams. This had to be a nightmare for the Iowa team. They had to be like, they are beating us by doing exactly what we do. It's crazy. It was nuts. I couldn't believe how great of an impersonation Michigan did of Iowa. It was off the charts. It was one of the best impressions I've ever seen by a whole team. Now, just getting into some kind of random thoughts. Who else here just believes that Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson, and I know Gus Johnson grew up a Michigan fan. He grew up in Michigan, and down deep, he is a Michigan guy. I get it. Is it the fact that they roll so hard for Michigan outside of game day that when they call the game, they feel they have to go overboard for the other team just so people be like, well, they're calling it fair? You know, because you watch Joel Klatt on Cowherd, you listen to Gus Johnson on just anything, and you can hear the respect, you can see that they like Michigan. But then when they call a game, you're like, I think these two guys love every team who plays against Michigan. No matter who it is, they find something that is just so amazing about this other team. Like last night, it was, oh, can you imagine? Joel Klatt even used a boa constrictor thing for Iowa. When Iowa's offense still had 0 points on the board and Michigan was already up by double digits. Just deep throating so hard, the Iowa eggplant. It shocks me. I can't figure these two out. It's so annoying. But yeah, that in itself also add that to the list of annoyances when it comes to Fox and how they handle college football for me. So annoying. Anyways, and then, oh, is it me or does Deacon Hill look like Nacho Libre? I know the other day I said that he looks like every car mechanic, but he's every car mechanic if they were Nacho Libre. Like, it's really shocking. That bad mustache and that hairdo, he looks a lot like Nacho Libre. It was throwing me off. Like, you put a helmet on Nacho Libre and that's Deacon Hill. It's crazy. He played a lot like Nacho Libre probably would have. Anyways, that was an awful performance. I mean, 18 for 32, 120, and a QBR of 22.4. That poor, poor bastard. And then I think their running backs only got something like 35 total yards rushing. Great performance overall by Michigan in their defense. Just fantastic. Another random thought. ESPN, what an absolute clown show, right? Now, I need to go back and actually listen to, and I don't want to, but I need to go back and listen to why they picked Iowa. But three people picking Iowa. Now, listen, the third person was Theo Von, a comic who doesn't know really anything about football, right? I love Theo Von. I love his comedy. I really do. I think he's a unique comic voice that you will not find any other stand-up comic that is like Theo Von, and I appreciate that. It's just like, why, dude? Why pick Iowa? I have to go back and listen to it. Maybe he was just like, I don't know shit, Iowa, you know? But, I mean, McAfee, God, what? I mean, he's the version of a hack comic. He's a hacky comic is what he is. He, you could see what he was doing with Georgia a mile away, getting them to do the whole, their whole whatever hullabaloo fight song bullshit, whatever that chant was, and then go Bama. Oh, shocker. Didn't see that one coming, McAfee. Oh, so amazing. You're so against the grain. Oh, you wear a sleeveless shirt to your podcast show. Oh, amazing. Oh, you don't like Michigan, yet your co-host is an Ohio State guy. Oh, shocker that you wouldn't like Michigan. You know, just such, I mean, and then you kiss the ass of every Michigan player that comes on, like Aiden Hutchinson. Oh, Aiden, let me kiss your butt some more. Dude, if you don't like Michigan, then just, you know, don't be fake about it. And he's just such a poser hack. It really, it's very annoying. Annoying should be the title of this show right now for me. My mood is annoyed. He is so hacky. He's lame. It shocks the absolute hell out of me that ESPN would pay so much money to have somebody with such poor sports takes. I mean, what? Oh, I'm cool. I'm a punter that does funky things. Ooh, I do weird dance moves when after I punt a ball. Oh, yay. Well, he's a punter, for God's sakes. I mean, how can the Indianapolis Colts have two idiot kickers, like Peyton Manning said about Vanderjack? How could they have two idiot kickers? I mean, at least Vanderjack liked to party and fucking had a bar. This moron just wears sleeveless shirts and says stupid shit. I mean, it's unlistenable. He makes my ears bleed. And then the old man Corso, I mean, man, what would have made me laugh is if Harbaugh would have come out and been like, where are you at? Where are you at, Corso? I made a meme about it. I just, you know, I never like comparing Harbaugh to Day ever, and I just don't want to put that out in the universe. But I definitely made a meme about that. It made me laugh for about 10 seconds until I realized, well, I was comparing Harbaugh to Ryan Day. So I didn't put it out. Just a clown show. ESPN is a freaking clown show. It disgusts me. Yeah, just disgusting. I wish Desmond Howard would find another place to go. But to give, I'll close out on this. I'll give my thoughts about the Alabama short. What my thoughts on what the CFP is, or the final rankings, but just to give you an idea, now, I didn't realize this at the time, but Michigan in the last four games, that's a significant four-game stretch that Michigan just went through, right? Penn State, Maryland, okay, but then Ohio State and Iowa. I didn't realize how good those defenses were. I mean, obviously, you know, Penn State's really good. Ohio State was really good. And then, Iowa. But overall, I blew my mind some of the numbers. I mean, Penn State, number one total defense. Now, this is the app I use, and I can't even remember what the name of it is. But I use, anytime you hear me use numbers, I'm not going to look for it now. It's too late. Anyways, Penn State, number one total defense. Number three, scoring defense. Ohio State, number three total defense. Number two, scoring defense. I think Michigan's number three in the scoring. And then Iowa, number five total defense and number four scoring defense. So over the last four games, just take out Maryland because I didn't even bother looking what they were. Michigan played three defenses in the top five in the nation when it comes to total and scoring defenses. Amazing. And they still scored over 20 points, 25 points against all of them. Very impressive. Very impressive. Now, I mentioned that to say that we now are going to go up against an SEC team in Alabama. And that is to say that it is the granddaddy of SEC football teams, right? Obviously, Georgia is catapulting itself up there to be mentioned amongst one of the titans of the SEC. But when you think of just the OG originals, it is Bama by a mile, right? So to me is encouraging to know that our offense, even though it looked like absolute stale dog shit last night, right? It is good to know that they were the last 3 out of the 4 weeks, they went up against 3 defenses that were in the top 5 in the nation in scoring and in total defense, and they scored over 25 points each on all 3 of those teams. Fantastic, right? It makes me feel much better about where our offense is going. Now, you get JJ healthy. You maybe teach Alex Orji how to throw the ball down the field instead of run it. And, you know, you get the offensive line a little bit healthier or a little bit more engaged and focused. And I think we can really do a number on Bama. I'm very excited to play Bama. I love that we're going to play Bama, to be quite honest, because if we're going to win a national title, we should have to go up against the best, and there should be no question about it, right? To be quite honest, man, maybe, just maybe, since we are playing Bama, it'll keep these kids engaged so they don't come out and look like complete and utter horseshit like they did against TCU. Maybe they won't believe their own press clippings, right? Maybe they won't, because it is Alabama. It is an SEC original badass team that you have to take seriously. So maybe they don't get a chance to really sniff their own farts and think it smells like honey. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that's going to force these young men to stay engaged, to take this game seriously, which I don't think they did last year. I think they really believe that they just have to show up and they're going to beat TCU because TCU backed the fuck in and they were just, or should be happy to be there. You know, when Harbaugh was off playing, you know, footsie with the NFL, you know, playing just the tip with numerous NFL football teams. So he wasn't there to keep them on the straight and narrow. So hopefully now, this is what scares me, is Bama doesn't necessarily scare me as much as the 4 weeks off scares me. If Michigan was playing Bama, like, say, next week, all in, can't wait to see what happens, and I think Michigan has a very good chance of winning. I still think Michigan has a very good chance of winning, but it scares the life out of me that is happening 4 weeks from now. We have an awful, awful, awful postseason record under Harbaugh. Awful. We have not won a postseason game since 2015. And I know you can say most of the ones that we've been in, 2016, still hungover, upset about losing the JT Short game against Ohio. 2017, we just weren't very good against South Carolina, I believe. 2018 and 2019, you know, just still getting beat down by Ohio State, not being focused towards the end, and you can't play the Bama and whoever else we played somebody else. And then Georgia just kicked the shit out of us in that first playoff game. And then, you know, we went into the TCU game playing the first half, or at least the very first quarter, with our heads squarely up our own butts. So doing all that makes me nervous, right? I'm excited that it's Bama, because I am hoping, because Bama looms so large in the landscape of college football, that it forces Michigan to take this seriously. So that's what I think. I think Florida State got completely jacked. They won 100% just got screwed over. You know what I mean? Like, I just, as soon as Jordan Travis went down, Florida State was screwed. Absolutely screwed, because their backup quarterback came in and didn't blow out Florida, and they didn't blow out Louisville. Now, if they would have blown out both those teams, I think they could have probably saved it. But you know damn well the committee was not about to exclude an SEC team, as much as I think they should have, right? As much as I think they should have. They should have excluded them. But it wasn't going to happen without good cause, and they... And Florida State did not force them to have to pick them, you know? Be undeniable, as I was told so many times, and just anything that you do, right? You want to be so good, you are undeniable. And, you know, not because, not, you know, it's a real shit thing, man. Florida State was undeniable until their quarterback went down. And as unfair and as stupid as that is, that gave the committee a reason not to pick them. So in an era of Power Five conferences, five Power Fives, you know, five Power Fives, duds in the fucking name, Adam. You know, in the era of Power Five conferences, every year one conference gets screwed. Usually it's the Big 12 or the Pac-12. Without fail, the committee loves to screw over the Pac-12 or the Big 12. But this year, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 did exactly what I said. They made themselves undeniable. Washington with back-to-back wins against, not back-to-back, but, you know, two wins against Oregon. Seven straight one possession games, you know, still undeniable. You can't say that or that Washington didn't earn their way into this. Texas beating Alabama, crushing everyone else in the Big 12 when they needed to crush teams in the Big 12, made themselves undeniable. Michigan made themselves undeniable by facing in the last 4 weeks, three of those weeks without their head coach and also playing three of the top five defenses in the country. Three in the top five made themselves undeniable. Florida State didn't, made themselves deniable. And what happened? They got denied. So that's it, guys. Once again, hey, listen, please go and rate and review, leave a review. Take a screenshot, go to YouTube, also take a screenshot as you like and subscribe, send those to me, DM those to me with your address, and I will send the first 10 people who do that Michigan versus everybody wristbands, all courtesy of Autograph. And also, if you haven't, download the Autograph app. It is free. Use reference or referral code MFRANT. Michigan football rants. Oh, yeah, it's rant. Use that as a referral code to help me out, and I will send you a free Michigan versus everybody wristband. All right? It is great to be a Michigan Wolverine. And forever and always, guys, go blue.